When I was first going to college, I was super excited. I'm like, I get to start all over. I get to meet new people. I can finally start living my life. And when I first got to college, I found out that my roommate decided that he wasn't going to come to college. So I had this double all to myself for the first semester. Come second semester, I get a new roommate that was a transfer. And one day he brings in a friend that was also a transfer. And that friend's name was Izzy. Now, if you followed any of my journey, you know that Izzy later became my college roommate, and then he later became my business partner in 2018. Somewhere in college, I don't remember the exact year, but Izzy was like, yo, you've got to check out this guy on Instagram called Optic Legacy. Fast forward to 2018, I meet Optic Legacy. I hire Optic to do some work for my business at the time, Mad Genie. And fast forward a few months, Eric Didier, Izzy Lugo, Optic Legacy, and myself become business partners. This episode, Brema Brema, also known as Optic Legacy. Brema is the founder of Unfinished Legacy, and he does so many things, but I think the best way to describe him is he's an artist.
I was born in Sudan. I don't have any memories of Sudan, but we moved to Kenya at a refugee camp when I was about like 4 or 5 years old. And at the time, like my parents escaped Sudan because there was a war going on, and a lot of the families from Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia were all migrating to Kenya at this refugee camp called Kakuma Camp. That's where like they seeked refuge. The UN helped supply food and they just give as much resources for survival. Earlier on, the thing that I remembered as a kid is going to the well and fetching water. The water would run for like a couple hours, and if you didn't fetch water that day, like you're kind of just done for. Thinking about like school, we didn't really have schooling or anything like that. There was like a complex where kids would go to, and then there was like adults there who acted as teachers just to like occupy the kids' time and give them some sort of like hope. Some of the images I remember early on too is the textbooks that we were laying around, like seeing kids flipping through them and tracing images of just the pictures that are on the textbooks. They would trace the images, and I remember seeing that and like being really intrigued and like really interested, and I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. Life was very freeing in a sense. You know, when you lack so much, like security was like the number one important thing. So everything that we lacked didn't really matter, you know, and not the food, not the clothes, not the shoes or anything like that. It was just that we had safety, and that was enough to be grateful for. My mom and dad ran a successful business. So they started very small, and over time it really grew to the point where like we had generators like running electricity, and we brought in fridges and stuff like that. And Coca-Cola was like one of our like vendors we had. We were literally bringing Coca-Cola to the refugee camp. And later on too, my dad ended up starting like this movie theater where like people could come watch news of like what was happening in Sudan, or like watch soccer, or like just watch like movies to kind of escape what was going on. In that sense, like my parents were very successful. They were just literally able to like make a life out of like what they were given. And they ended up sending me to a boarding school when I was about 9. When I was away, something tragic happened back at camp. I don't know exactly what happened, but like I think there was like envy and stuff like that was going on because of like what my parents were able to build. There was a local gang came to the store, ended up robbing it and shooting my uncle, who was at the time was living at the store, and you know, would open up in the morning. Weeks later, they came back to my parents' house to look for my dad. But my dad's a Muslim, and he prays really like early, they, Muslim pray five times a day, and he was up at the time when they came, so he was able to escape. At the time, like my family being in some sense of danger, we were taken into like police custody, and United Nations heard about like what was going on with my family. So they took us under custody, and we were put in this like protective like camp area. After living there for about a year or so, my dad had a deal with the UN of us like living close to Nairobi and just kind of going to schooling there and figuring out the process of coming to the States.
Pause. September 2019, we did a mental health experiment, and Brahma filmed a lot of it. Basically, we took a lot of strangers and acquaintances and we put them in the same room. They had no idea what was happening. They walked in, they all got a number on their hand, zero from like 30. They walk through, they see a stage, they see a soapbox, they see lights, they see mics, they see cameras, they see a person randomly on a guitar. Eventually, I walk up on stage and I'm like, hey. We wanted to spark real conversation. So I'm going to walk you through how this is going to work. So essentially, you got a number when you walked in. Mine is zero because my favorite number is zero, and I'm weird. Yeah? You all got numbers?
Yes.
Okay. So the number signifies when you order, you're going to come up here. Order, you're going to come up here, you're going to talk about the prompt is, what are you struggling with or what have you struggled with? And we expected maybe 10 people to go up and talk, but every single person went up and said something that day. And I still get goosebumps thinking about that day.
I pretty much every day from 11 to 18, I wanted to kill myself. I didn't think I was worth being here. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what trauma you've ever had, whatever you've had in your life, you deserve to be here. You deserve to live. You deserve to be here. You deserve to have good things.
I was born in Sudan. Family migrated to Kenya, you know, because there was war. Lived in a refugee camp for like most of my life, you know. The harshest conditions, but this month has been really tough. This past Sunday, I woke up to my car being, you know, got stolen.
Now, like, I struggle with like this false notion that people don't actually really care about me. Or, hey, dude, give me a job. I need money, right? Like, but how are you actually doing?
I feel like rejection is one of the things that, as a young person, as a child, when you're growing up, it's one of the things they don't teach you how to cope with.
I always wonder if I'm living up to his expectations. I feel like a failure a lot of times. I work harder, still feel like a failure. That translates to me feel like I let other people down.
One thing I recently struggled with was failing out of nursing school. I'm a first generation immigrant. My parents brought me here to the US when I was 5 years old. So my mission has always been to make them proud.
I'll take a look at my sister and see she's doing like incredible things. I never thought she'd be an author. And like, I'll see some of my best friends be doing the best of things. And I'll just sit back and look and think to myself that I'm sitting in a cubicle doing something I'm not happy with.
My mother grabbed me by my arms and she said, don't ever depend on anyone, like nobody. Not your, even your husband. I was like 9 years old. She's like, make your own money. Have your own career, go to college, but don't ever depend on any. I could see like tears. It hit me hard.
We lost my younger brother to suicide. It still gives me chills to say that.
So that day, Brahma was filming a lot of this event alongside the rest of our videographers. And just like the rest of our team, he wasn't expecting to go up there. So when I saw him walk up on stage, I was like, damn.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brahma.
This is going to be amazing. And what he said, I was not prepared for.
I woke up to my car being, you know, got stolen.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is one of my business partners. And I had no idea he was going through that. I had no idea what he was going through. And that hit me hard. Because that was the whole reason why we decided to do this event in the first place. We don't ask. We don't know.
So when we moved to the States, I had came with my idea of what America was going to be like, and you know, just the expectation of like watching America on television and just or magazines or whatever, and just kind of comparing. So I'm the oldest, the sister who's like right behind me, we were in the same school, so I remember she was just like crying like the whole time we were there. It was just a very like emotional time for both me and her, coming into like this new environment and just like feeling like we didn't belong, just being really afraid of like adapting into this like new environment that we don't know anything about. So that was like mostly most of like my eighth grade year was just that not feeling like I belonged and just really just trying to like navigate this new world. Riverside, going to high school there, it's like the back of the high school has these like ledges where like kids would, you know, students would go and like sit and eat lunch. But like after school, it was like it's a famous like skate spot. So like a lot of people would come and skate those ledges. So I would sit there after school and just watch like these dudes skating. And I was like, wow, this is great. And I'll have like conversation with them about like wanting to skateboard. And they were also like very open of like teaching me like tricks or like just showing me like new things. And like, it was just very accepting community. Unfinished Legacy started from also like just the skateboarding communities. A lot of times like skateboarders want to get good to get sponsored by a clothing brand or by a skate brand or something like that. And for me early on, I was like, that would be great. That was like the first time where I felt like, oh, like I don't have to buy clothes. I could be good enough and a brand will just give me free clothes and I could not have to worry about like my appearance anymore. Cause I remember like all our clothes were like thrifted like from Goodwill, and that was like a sense of like shame in that like the kids in school were wearing like new clothes and like these branded clothes. And I didn't have that my sophomore year in high school. At the time, I just had the idea of like starting a brand. The name wasn't there or anything like that. So I was like, I just want to start a brand. And where everything started to make sense was I did an internship at the art museum over the summer. And there we learned all like so many different ways of like how you can create artworks and like the different methods. I learned screen printing, the process of screen printing. And I was like, oh, that's how you make clothes. That's cool. Okay, maybe like this is something I should like really focus on because this might be like helpful in the future. I remember throughout the weeks, we would meet one day and we'd sit in this like circle and just have like conversation. And we were asked to describe ourselves in like one word. And someone next to me mentioned the word unfinished. And to me, like, hearing that, like, it really like resonated with me, and I was like, wow, that's me as a person. Like, I'm unfinished. Like, all my dreams, like my aspirations, like all the things that I want to be, like I'm not there yet. So like I'm always gonna feel unfinished, and there's so much like room for growth and stuff like that.
Pause. So if you look at Brema's Instagram or his TikTok, the thing that I love the most is that it's focused on the art. It's not, hey, look at this product I'm promoting, or hey, look at how great I am. It's just focusing on the art. It's showing people this is how I view the world. That's my favorite thing. I miss the old days of blogging and like early internet, you know, and it was like, hey, here's this thing that I love. Come talk about it with me. Or, hey, I really want to make the world a better place, versus now where a lot of influencer marketing and just social media in general has gone is, hey, look at how great I am. Or here's this product, or here, buy this from me. And I think the biggest takeaway when looking at everything that Brema is done or is doing is that it's really focused on the story. It's focused on co-creation and inviting people into his world. He's doing that with his community, with his brand Unfinished Legacy, but also just as an individual with the art that he's creating. And overall, I think what's really cool is that he was a kid that was a misfit, that didn't fit in, and he found solace in the skateboarding community. And as that kid that didn't fit in, he was able to then create a world for other people to be a part of. That's the coolest thing for me.
Man, it was very weird to see like people really interested in like what I was making. At the time, like all I cared about was like, I wanted to make something for myself. And like, if my group of friends wanted to wear it, like, cool. I mean, now too, the same, man. Like every now and then I'll see someone wearing my stuff, or like someone will text me like, hey, I just saw somebody, you know, wearing Unfinished Legacy. And I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Like, it's still so surreal to me. Like just that I could come up with something and put it out and like people will receive it. And that's something that I would like always be grateful for. Like no matter like how many pieces like we're selling, I'm still always, it always just feels like a family. If you're like wearing Unfinished Legacy and like you believe in the ideas that I believe in, like you're like part of like my family.
Pause. The way that Brema views the world is fascinating to me. In this interview, I told him something that he said a long time ago stuck with me, and that's, I just want to be an artist. And the reason that stuck with me is because I've done so many things in my life. You know, I've been a singer-songwriter. I've always been a writer. You know, I've started businesses. Now I've got this show and a bunch of other creative things. And I think with creatives, sometimes we put ourselves in these boxes. Hey, I'm a YouTuber, so I've got to create content that looks like this. And we box our creativity in. It needs to look this way. It needs to look that way. But with Brema, he's a photographer, he's a videographer, he's an artist, he owns a fashion brand. But the real art is that he's showing how he sees the world to the world.
I'd like to say I'm an open book, but it's
no,
only,
no, you're not, man.
Only, no, here's the thing. Only if you pick the book and ask the right questions.